That's when you get cold, when you backslide. But when you come back and get back on the path of righteousness, God can use you. He can work with you. And be glad that when we slip off and when we step out the path, that God comes after us and he chastises. Amen. That lets us know that we belong to him.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Yes,
remember, I told you, you don't whip other folks' children. So if you belong to the devil, he's not going to whip you. He'll try to draw you. Amen. Through the power of the Holy Spirit to come and accept his son as Savior. Once you've done that, you'll become one of his children. And then he will take care of us. He will chastise us. He will lead us. He will guide us. But he does it all through love, not because he's mean. You don't whip your children because you hate them, but you whip them and discipline them because you love them. Any parent who let the child do anything they want to do, something wrong with that. You don't care nothing about them. But a loving parent will discipline that child.
Amen.
I know it's a little different now. They say, well, you can call the police and all that, but but you still have to discipline your child.
Amen.
If I was raising one right now, I'd have to discipline. If you call the police would have to raise him. Are you with me? I don't mean brutalize a child, but I'm talking about we have to straight them. But the book says, train them up in the way they should go. And when they're old, they will not depart. Somebody say, well, what do you mean they won't depart? Well, they may stray away, but they have a foundation when they come to themselves that they can come back to. I don't know about you, but I strayed away for a long time. But the Lord drew me back on in. I had something, a foundation. Amen. Because I was trained up in the way I should go. Amen. And so were you. More than likely, you were trained up in the way you should go.
Amen.
Now, some of y'all maybe a lot of y'all didn't stray away, but I did. At this time, we extend the invitation. There may be somebody here this morning. Look like we got all members, but you never know. Somebody who needs to come forth. Maybe you just need to come forth for prayer, or maybe you've been backsliding, or whatever the case may be. The Lord say, come. Come now while the blood still run warm.
This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the Gospel in plain English.
Ooh. Welcome to the Zion Hill Church Family Broadcast, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Nestled in the vibrant community of Pineville, Louisiana, under the compassionate leadership of Pastor Joshua Joydera, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's Z-I-O-N-H-I-L-L.com. Now, let's join the broadcast, already in progress.
Book of St. John, chapter 5, verse 5. It's very simple. The Bible says a certain man was there. He had an infirmity for 38 years. Lord, I thank you for your word. Help me to break it down to our understanding. Bless it, O God. Anoint the word, anoint your people. Let this month be a month of revival in our community. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Our subject for discussion is titled, There is Hope for the Black Man. There is hope for the black man. Let me go on record to say, when you hear me talk about man, actually I meant men and women. That's the way the Bible is written. So if you see me talk about the black man, so every woman is included. When you hear me use the term black, every race is included in this message. You know why? Because the Bible is gender neutral. So man, woman, we are talking about the same thing. Black, white, we are talking about the same thing. They are all God's children. All minds clear? Now, the passage I just read to you, I read one verse for the sake of time. But let me encourage you to go home and read the whole chapter. I trust your capability to do that. But in a nutshell, beginning from verse 1, this is what happened, or this was what was going down. There was a feast in Jerusalem. And ladies and gentlemen, that feast, Jesus decided to attend. I can stop there and preach to you, because that ought to give you a picture of what kind of God you serve. Some people have become so holy that they cannot relate to nobody. If you recall, he was at a wedding in Canaan, Galilee. Here we see him again attending a celebration. So don't die in isolation. Mix and mingle with other people. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says this feast is taking place in Jerusalem. And Jesus went there. The Bible also said in that same city, there was a place called Bethsaida, of five porch. And they said in that porch, a porch is like a veranda, a little section in the city. And the Bible said in that porch, there was a gathering of impotent people. People that are blind, people that are lame, people that are sick. Guess what they are doing there? They said they are waiting for the moving of the pool, because they gather around the pool. And the reason why they are waiting is that the Bible says once a year, God will send an angel to trouble the water. And when the water is troubled, whoever gets in first gets healed. Am I still in the book? Now I get to the verse I read to you. They said, around that pool with the rest of sick folks, there was a man. He was there also waiting for an angel to stir up the water. But he's been there for 38 years. Well, let me begin to insert some black history for your understanding. He was there for 38 years. Our people, they worked for 310 years without pay. So somebody waited 38 years to be healed. Your people, my people, waited 310 years. The question must be asked, how long have you been waiting? That's another sermon by itself. Jesus showed up one day. And Jesus asked him the question, sir, will you be made whole? Translation, do you want to be healed? And you know the rest of the story. That same day, the man was healed. Jesus told him, stop making excuses. That's my message for black folks. Stop making excuses. He said, arise, pick up your bed, and walk. So when I say, let's clean up our neighborhood, when I say, let's protect our own neighborhood, let's create businesses in our own neighborhood. If you go to our neighborhood today, guess who owned the businesses? The Middle Easterns, the Chinese, the Koreans, the Latinos. I don't blame them. Amen. This is a free society. It is up to you and me to take personal responsibility. That man was healed that day, not because Jesus picked him up, not because there's a government who sent a check. I know some of you have been waiting for a check. Please don't send no check. Personal responsibility. There comes a time when you get tired of being sick and tired. The man took on personal responsibility. He picked up his bed and he started to walk. That is what happened in a nutshell. Let me point out some lessons that we can learn from that story. Lesson number one, notice the location of that miracle. The feast that Jesus came to town for is in the church house. But the miracle was not inside the church house. The miracle was on the street. There's a lesson there for you and me. And for every pastor that will hear me today, if you really want to do the work of ministry, you have to be willing to go outside these four walls. Tell somebody I got it. That pool was not in the church. And let me go on record to tell you, most of the miracles that Jesus wrought was outside the church. Tell somebody I got it. Part of the problem for our local churches, the reason why most churches are empty Hey, don't turn me off. You are singing Kumbaya within your four walls. But the real people, they're outside on the street. So let's be like Jesus. Let's go on the street. The Bible says go by the highways. Go by the byways. Compel men and women to come so that my house may be full. Say, I got it. Another lesson we can pick up there. Notice the place where that miracle happened was called Bethsaida. That word in Greek means a house of grace, a house of mercy. The Bible says it has five porches. The number five is a number of what? Grace. Why am I telling you? My prayer, my heart desire is for this house to be a house of grace. I don't need religious people in this house. I'm looking for men and women who will extend the grace of God to other people. That means this is not a place to be gossiping about anybody. That means this is not a church where you stick your nose on other people's business. That means this is not a place where you look down on others as if you've always been holy all your life. Somebody shout grace. I'll be honest with you. The truth be told, I am standing before you today by the grace of God. You all know my story. You literally watched me drop dead right here on this stage. The only reason why I'm standing before you, the grace of God. What the devil meant for disgrace, God turned it into grace. Are you listening to me? I want this church to be an exception to the rule. This ought to be a place where grace is hanging out with disgrace. Ah. Hallelujah. I have to preach on that someday. So let this house be a place that is welcoming to anybody. I don't care how they look. I don't care how they dress. I don't care if they know how to sing or they know how to dance. Whosoever will, let him come. Are you all still here? Another lesson that we ought to learn. Notice that even though Jesus came to town for a big feast, a big celebration, that's like somebody going to New Orleans for Mardi Gras. That was his mission. That's why he came to town. But he took the time out to stop by to see little people, the rejects of the society. I'm trying to encourage you and me. Don't get so holy that you cannot touch God's children. Are you all still here today? I'm trying to help somebody. The place, I imagine, was smelly. Because it's full of stinking people. Many people at that place, they probably have not brushed their teeth for weeks, for months. But Jesus was willing to mix and mingle with them. Don't become too dignified. that you cannot relate with people that God died for. You know, the problem with many Christians today, and not just Christians, people will love you until something is wrong with you. And all of a sudden, they push you to the side. You'll be amazed how many of you have people in nursing home. You never go about to see them. You'll be amazed how many of you see a homeless person on your way to church today. You pretend as if you don't see them and you keep driving straight. Be careful how you deal with people. The Bible says you may be entertaining an angel. I'm trying to help somebody. So Jesus was not just a God of the rich and the wealthy and the powerful. He demonstrated that he is for everybody. Tell somebody, I got it. I don't know about you. I thank God today. When I could not reach him, he came down to reach for me. Open your mouth, shout amen. Amen. And also there's a word of encouragement for somebody, because I see a spirit of apathy in our community. You ask people, why are you not voting? They will tell you, because my vote don't count. But as you can see in this story, everybody counts in the eye of the Lord. He didn't just go to the festival with the big folks. He took the time to hang around ordinary people. And I don't care what the devil has been trying to plant in your head. Believe me when I tell you, you matter to the Lord. Get involved. We just had an election. In case you don't know, we have about 126,000 people that lives in Rapis Parish. Are you listening to me? Out of that 126,000, 40,000 plus are black folks. Out of that 40,000 plus people, only 24,000 are registered to vote. Before the game begins, you already lost. It's a simple math. Why will you have 40,000 plus people and only 24,000 are registered to vote? That's a community that says, I chose to be a failure. Simple math. Where it gets worse than that, of the 24,000 who are registered to vote, only 12,000 actually voted this past election. I'm grateful for my pastor here, Pastor Fidelia, Brother Herbert Dixon. I was getting raw data. That's the kind of pastor you have, you know. It's not like I'm just reading Bible and singing Kumbaya 24 hours. I went to school just like you. What we are trying to do is to move this community, especially you and our community, from this mindset that the only way you can make it is through sports or politics. I want to raise your children to believe that they can do anything. That they are made in God's image, that the sky is the limit for them. One of the ways we're going to change things around here, you got to get involved. If only 12,000 plus people voted among the black people, you already lost the election. You don't need to wait for the returns. The election is over. You see how this thing works? So we need to accept personal responsibility. Anybody who hear or hang around me, my biggest assignment to my friends, my family, you cannot be around this anointing and fail. I will push you into your destiny, even when you don't like it. To whom much is given, much is required. Ladies and gentlemen, now let's look again at the people who are gathered by that pool. Blind, lame, sick, impotent. You know, as I was reading the scripture, you know what the Lord revealed to me? He said, these are the kind of people that comes to your church every Sunday morning. Yes, it's Black History. The Lord is saying to me, these are your people that I sent you to minister to. Among us, blind. Among us, struggling. Among us, lame. Among us, broken. Among us, hurting, impotent. Ladies and gentlemen, there are some here, if you're not blind, then you're lame. If it's not lameness, then there's paralysis. Everybody in the same boat. Everyone by that pool, they are all in the same boat. I know some of you think you better because you have a new house now and you got 2 garage doors and a cat and a goat. But we all in the same boat. No one can say I'm better than the other. No one can look down on anybody. Amen, somebody. So what you are reading is a picture of where we are today. But if you follow that story carefully, the good news is that God can change things around. Just think about it. In our community, if your problem is not drug, then it's alcohol. If your problem is not alcohol, then it's sex. Hey, don't turn me off now. You know Kunta is going to preach anyway. All kinds of challenges. If it's not sex, it's what you wish you could do, but you can't do. Mm-hmm. If it's not gossip, it's lying. I'm trying to describe what's going on in our hood. Impotence. If it's not gossip, some people just overeating. Don't look at your neighbor now, not today. If it's not overeating, some people are just lazy. Somebody needs to preach this gospel. You see, the enemy has a trick, you know. They make our brothers make all of our sister just to make babies so they can have more slaves. Amen. Now, that was years and years ago. But will you believe some people are still making babies today and not accepting the responsibility to take care of their children? So we need to repair our community. Today, nobody making you make no babies. But there's something called a generational curse that you and I need to break so that the power of God can move freely without any interruption in our community. Brothers, you make babies? Raise your baby. Hey, don't call me. Ladies and gentlemen, you know how they ruled over us? It's called, you ever heard about Willie Lynch article? You defy them and you conquer them. But that was years and years ago. Where today, guess what? We are still defied. You'll be amazed how many black preachers will not even talk to each other. Spirit of jealousy. Spirit of envy. Whereas the Bible says a house divided against itself. You're not divided against nobody. You and I, we are divided against our own self. We cannot blame no one for that. Personal responsibility. And some of you think you're more holy than others. Just because you carry a Bible with a large print, that don't make you holy. Get a clue. Oh, Lord have mercy. I see some of my colleagues, they put a big cross. Just because you're wearing a big cross, that don't make you spiritual. We're all in the same boat. So what I'm calling for today is the question Jesus asked that man. You've been in this condition for too long. Do you want to be made whole? And that's the question for me and you today. Do we really just want to accept this condition we are in? Or do we want to do better? I don't know about you. What I've been pushing this church, the message of this ministry is that you, me, all of us, we can do better for ourselves. That is why in our spirit we have to answer that question. Do you want to do better? Do you want to be made whole? If you are waiting on others to do it, it's not going to happen. If you are counting on the other side to do you a favor, it will not happen. Stop praying about that. You're wasting your energy. If you're waiting on the government, it will not happen. At the end of the day, you and I have to make a decision. We're going to love each other. You and I have to make a decision. We're going to walk in love. We're going to unite. Let me tell you what the system will do when you're waiting for them. In case you don't know, there's an undercurrent when it comes to really doing for us, you will just get a dew drop, a trickle down. Just look at an industry. Let's say the actors and the comedians and whatever. Have you noticed there are hundreds, thousands of actors from our community, you never hear of them because they only allow few. For the longest, Dick Gregory was the star. Am I right about it? And then after him, guess who came in along? Anybody know? Bill Cosby? Who else? Sidney? Who else? Harry? Who else? Richard Pryor? Eddie Murphy? My point is that only a few. Even when you go into the sports, not all these kids that are running the field going to make it. They will not allow it to happen. The market is controlled. At the end of the day, you have to do for yourself. At the end of the day, I have to do for myself. Can you imagine if I'm waiting on this church for my future? How stupid would that be? At some point, I have to say, for God I'll live, for God I'll die. Ladies and gentlemen, when it's all said and done, my message to all of us is we can do better. Do you remember when rap music got started? In Bronx, South Bronx. And these young brothers, they have talents. I mean, raw talents. And they were touching every area of our culture. They had strong messages. They were selling the album at the back of their truck. And doing very well. I'm talking about self-help. They're not waiting on big record company. They're not waiting for nobody to pick them up. But no, notice what happened. The enemy infiltrates that system and corrupts the system. Now, instead of them really having a message, all they talk about now is sex, violence, calling our girls B-word, and all kinds of mess. Is that the kind of community you and I want?
No, sir.
We can do better. Oh, yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Public Enemy. They were not recording in any studio when they got started. And God blessed the effort. Raw talents. In this house, you'll be amazed what we can get done for this community. This single church can change Central Louisiana for the glory of God. The question is, are we willing? Are we able? And ladies, don't allow this system to subject you to looking like a can't find a nice word to describe. And now people walking around showing their backside, you know. You are better than that. I thank God for your physical beauty. What about your intellectual beauty? Now we go to football game. You know we're going to watch Super Bowl today. Every time there's a break, then here comes a girl. We come to watch football. Football. Let me try this side. Have you ever been to a fight? I know, Brother Julian, you like boxing.
Yes, sir.
And every time we one thing, here comes a girl. With everything showing. As if I'm dumb enough, I don't know what round we're in. Sisters, you are better than that. Are you listening to me? You and I, we can do better. As a man, a woman think it, so is. Believe that you are made in the image of Almighty God. And allow God to use you. Let me say this in conclusion. I see my wife getting up there. Ladies and gentlemen, the reality of our situation now, a lot of our people are in poverty. Am I right about it? Kids going to school hungry. Am I right about it? You'll be amazed how many millions out there have no health insurance. Trying to let you know we have work ahead of us. Government, they would rather bail out big companies. Remember AIG Corporation? Bailed out. Remember General Motors? Bailed out. You think they're going to bail you and me out? That ain't going to happen. We have to roll our sleeves and go to work. All these shootings, all this killing. We don't have time to blame the police. No, forget them. Yes, I said it. We can police our own community. We can keep our community safe. Thank God for the police. They'll do their job. Thank God for the sheriff. But at the end of the day, we have to do our job. Remember, we had a black mayor. Nothing changed. Nobody liked to tell the truth, you know. Remember, we have majority in the council. Nothing changed. But when we God's children, when we make up our mind, see, Jesus told him, hey, boo, do you really want to change? It sounds like a dumb question, but really it's a very important question. I have to ask myself that question. Do I really want to change in this community? And when, notice what that man said. Well, I have nobody to help me. That's the problem. We are waiting on Washington. We're waiting on Baton Rouge. We're waiting on the police. Excuses, excuses, excuses. You know, maybe it's the lawyer in me. I hate it when I ask people questions and they don't answer my question. The question he was asked, do you want to be made whole? He did not answer that question. God is my witness. You can talk to any of my children. I get frustrated. It's a yes or no. Do you want to be made whole? You know, I was one day, I saw somebody. He said, do you have a lighter? He wants to smoke, you know. All I need to say, no or yes. Where I started a story, where, you know, I don't smoke. Nobody asked you about whether you smoke, how long you've been smoking. Do you have a lighter? No. Have you ever seen people that will come to you and say, can I have a dollar? Yeah. It's a simple question. You don't need a PhD. You just say yes or no. He was asked, do you want to be made whole? Well, he said, every time I try to go in, she start another story. And that's the problem with many of us. We are making excuses. But if we really want to see Rapis Parish change, It's right there in the Word of God. Jesus said, arise. Instruction number one. Pick up your bed and start walking. Good morning, my brothers, my sisters. If you never hear my voice again, remember that God sent somebody along your pathways that is sounding the alarm. We can do better. How can we do it? If you make babies, raise your babies. If you're a woman, conduct yourself with dignity. You're not just a piece of meat. You are made in God's image. How are we going to do better? Arise. Pick up that which has been pulling you down and begin to walk. Come on, give the Lord God a clap offering. Everybody stand to your feet. Pastor, come up here. Let's pray. Let's hold somebody's hand. Just hallelujah. I'm believing God for a new season. I'm believing God for a new day. There is hope for you and me. There is hope for our community. There is hope for the black man. Can I tell you a little confession? Years and years ago, I met with the deacons of this ministry. You know what I told them my assignment is? To rewrite the history of the black man. Are you listening to me? This is not just for February. Every day is black history. Let's make this world a better place. You, me, all of us, black, white, everybody, Jews and Gentiles, we are the light of this world. Let your light so shine among men that they will see what? Your good work. And guess what will happen? So stop blaming anybody. The government is not your problem. The white folks are not your problem. The Latinos are not your problem. The Middle Eastern, they come to the neighborhood just to do business. They work their butt. They are there. They work hard. Yes, ma'am. That's exactly what's going on. My heart cries out for Israel. They take care of their own community. Why can't we do the same? We all can prosper. This is a big black planet. Plenty of space. If you're willing and you're obedient. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19. You will eat the good of the land.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Zion Hill Church family. To hear this sermon in its entirety or hear other sermons, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's Zionhill.com, where faith finds its home and every soul